Welcome back to season two of the Ivy League Prep Academy podcast, equipping you to successfully pursue the college of your dreams. We believe everyone deserves to reach their full potential, and the admissions process shouldn't hold you back. If you listen to this podcast, you already know that I spend a lot of time talking with teens and their parents about the stress, the anxiety, the frustration, the anger, the confusion that surrounds college admissions. We also, of course, talk about the wonderful things, the golden eggs, as I call them, the things that allow teens to become an incredible human being because they're inspired to become that as they prepare to get into a great college. Of course, that juxtaposition exists. College prep should be, can be, and should be absolutely healthy and wonderful. It should not be overwhelming, confusing, stressful, and frustrating. But for many, many families, it's extremely frustrating. And this post from a Facebook group, I think, helps to explain why it can be so confusing and frustrating and just bonkers sometimes. This post from the Facebook group says, "What do we do with this? The valedictorian at my daughter's high school, West High School, applied to 14 schools and was rejected from all of them, even though she got a 1540 SAT score and is literally the valedictorian. If she is rejected from every single school that she applied to, what hope does my daughter have?" And man, you can understand why that would create frustration and confusion and anger and everything else. A whole lot of emotions that I think are appropriate. The good news is that those emotions are based in a misunderstanding of how admissions officers view applications. And we'll get into this in just a second. But before we do that, I want to read another couple of messages that I've received personally. As you have already heard, perhaps, this early admissions cycle, we've had another excellent cycle. We've had great results. And we're getting even more wonderful results as the regular admissions data comes in as well. Our students are doing really great things. And this particular message is such a great juxtaposition against that Facebook post. This is from a parent, and I'm going to substitute the name of the child for just my daughter. So it says, "Thank you so much. My daughter has gotten into every single school she applied to, and she's the only one from her school that was accepted to UT Austin out of state." And then later on, she talks about how the valedictorian also applied and did not get in. This is normal, you guys. For those of you who feel like, yeah, what's up with that? How is that possible? This is completely normal. And the explanation for this, the reason why this happens, is what I call the impressiveness trap. All right, so to understand why a college would reject the valedictorian and admit a student who is further back in the class, you have to understand what it's like to be an admissions officer. And before we get into the minds of the admissions officer, let me talk really briefly about what are in the minds of teens and parents when they begin this college journey, this college prep journey. So somewhere around eighth grade, for a lot of families that are really ambitious, they begin to think about college and how to gain an advantage, how to increase their chances of getting into a great school. And so they ask a really valuable question. What is most impressive to an admissions officer? And they ask that question over and over and over again. And if you think about it, is this class more impressive or is that class more impressive? Sometimes it just doesn't matter, but sometimes it's obvious. The more rigorous class is going to be more, quote unquote, impressive than the less rigorous class. A more advanced class is more impressive than a less advanced class. Well, joining a club is more impressive than doing nothing. Being the captain of the club is more impressive than just joining the club. And if joining a club and being the captain of the club is more impressive than nothing, then joining 3 clubs or 6 clubs or 12 clubs must be more impressive than joining one. And being the captain of 2 or 3 or 5 of those must be more impressive than not, right? And so this process kind of continues from about 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade for some families. Most around 8th grade is when they begin asking this question. And it continues all the way to the end of senior year, all right? And you think about that. If I need to be in the most advanced classes and I need to be getting great grades and, of course, still do well on my SAT test, which is becoming obviously more and more important as schools return to requiring the SAT. And I've got to create this picture that I'm a perfect student that does everything well. And so I need to be a varsity athlete. And it's not enough to just be on the team. I need to be a captain on the team. and I need to play a musical instrument in the orchestra and or the band, and I need to do speech and debate and model United Nations or whatever the case may be, right? As teens continue to ask that question over time, they're going to be doing harder and harder activities. And in order to fit all of these impressive activities in order to do the stuff that impresses the admissions officers the most, they're going to have to sacrifice something, right? Because in order to fit that many things into your limited 24 hours a day, some of that time needs to be spent sleeping, and some of it is in class, and some of it is eating and transportation back and forth. So in the limited minutes that you have in the day, in order to accomplish everything, something's got to give. And what are the things that students give up? Well, they give up, first of all, the things that perhaps they're curious about. I don't have time to be curious or to explore things that I'm interested in. If I'm going to be impressive enough to get into a top college, I need to give that up. And pretty soon, they've already given up the stuff that they're curious about, the stuff that they're interested in, the playfulness, the friendship, you know, time and the time with family. They've given up perhaps other things that they used to enjoy, but, you know, it's a small price to pay in order to get into a great college. And then the rest of your life is going to be easier because you got into a great college. That's the logic for these impressiveness trap families. But then it gets to the point where that's not enough. And in order to fit everything in, students begin to realize that they need to give up sleep, right? It seems like the obvious solution. I'll just stay up an extra hour so I can fit it all in, you know, or maybe I'll wake up an hour earlier. And so as they begin to cut more and more into their sleep time, that's the next thing that they sacrifice. So over time, teens, in an effort to become as impressive as possible to the admissions officers, they give up their curiosities, they give up their core values, the things that matter most to them. They give up exploring who they are and what they care about and what matters to them. They don't have time to explore that. They're so overscheduled that they barely have time to eat in between activities, let alone to deeply ponder and reflect on what matters most to them, right? What their values are. And at some point, they give up a lot of time with friends and family and fun time and creative play and playfulness, which we've talked about on this podcast many times before. And then they also give up sleep. And that's ironic, right? Because as you give up your playfulness and your curiosity and your core values and your sleep, you give up the very things that would enable you to get into these top colleges. So let's stick with this for just a second. These super ambitious teens and their families, they hyper-focus on just the things that are most impressive to the admissions officers for 4 years. And let's just pretend that you are really successful with it. Let's pretend you're one of the few that does not totally burn out and collapse along the way. You outlast everyone else in this marathon of torture, right? Because you've given up the stuff that recharges your life, that recharges your batteries, that makes you feel like it's wonderful to be alive. You've given all that stuff up so that you can be more impressive. And so a lot of teens along the way are going to burn out and they're going to stop playing the game, right? But they will resent college and high school and education. They'll resent personal growth. They will resent the things that could make them happier and more successful, but they will resent that because along the way, they approached it through the impressiveness trap. But let's pretend, first of all, let's just say, for example, that you are the successful one. You made it. You outlasted everyone, and you became the valedictorian plus captain of several clubs or teams and great SAT score, all right? You're the most impressive student in your whole school. Everyone in your community, just like this mother, is going to think that you're going to get into every single school that you apply to. And that would seem really, really logical, right? Why wouldn't you? You're the most impressive student in the whole school. Of course you're going to get into every school, and every school is going to be recruiting you. If you're that person, then you are one of 30,000 valedictorians, because there are 30,000 high schools in North America. 30,000. Every single one of them has a valedictorian. Every single one of them has a student body president. Every single one of them has captains of all of the teams, and they have orchestras and bands and whatever else, right? Maybe not every single one, but nearly every single one has nearly all of the same things that your high school has. And so all of these 30,000 high schools have a most impressive student. And pretty much all of them are applying to the same schools that you're applying to. And of course, it's not just the number one academic student. It's not just the valedictorian who's applying. Probably everyone that's in the top 1% or top 2% of these 30,000 schools. So we're talking about hundreds of thousands of students are all thinking about the same schools and applying to those same schools. And you can imagine, if you're an admissions officer and every single day you read application after application after application that looks almost identical, it must just feel amazing when some new application comes across your desk and someone says, you know what, I didn't even play the game. I didn't get sucked into the impressiveness trap. I didn't lose my sleep and lose my core values and lose my curiosity and my love of learning so that I could be more impressive. No, I rejected that game. I took enough rigorous classes that I can show that I can handle the academic rigor, but I stopped there because I needed that time to charge my own batteries, to make sure that I was in a position to demonstrate my curiosity and my love of learning and exactly who I am and how I impact my community because I am who I am, right? These students, imagine you have someone that just is a breath of fresh air after all of these applications that look identical. Finally, you have one that is new and fresh. And so the impressiveness trap is spending 4 years or more of your life doing stuff that doesn't matter as much to you because you think it's going to be impressive to an admissions officer, only to find out senior year that those very activities made you really boring. They made your application boring. They made your application look like so many other ambitious kids' applications. All right. So an admissions officer is not trying to figure out who are the smartest, hardest working, most ambitious teens in the application pile. They're not trying to figure out, you know, the 2,000 smartest or the 2,000 hardest working so that they can accept those 2,000 and reject all the rest. What they're trying to do is shape a class, create an ecosystem that is rich and diverse and has all kinds of different students inside of it, believing that those differences between the students can create this ecosystem where everyone benefits. Instead of having 2,000 clones of the same kind of person, they've got a rich, diverse, living, beautiful, self-supportive, symbiotic ecosystem. That's the goal. And along the way, they want these people to become friends and to stay friends and to create powerful alumni networks after graduation and continue to go change the world and bring honor and glory back to the school. So if I'm an admissions officer and I see application after application after application of students who fell into the impressiveness trap, and then I see a student who I can easily understand where they would fit in this ecosystem that I'm trying to shape, it's a no-brainer. I'm already exhausted. My brain is already frazzled with thousands of applications that I read over the course of just 40 or 50 days, right? I'm literally reading about 2,000 applications during the cycle. So every single day, hour after hour after hour, I'm reading applications from very similar people. And suddenly I see someone that clearly fits in a certain position on my ecosystem, right? Inside the class that I'm shaping. Well, obviously, that's going to be a breath of fresh air for me. And that student is going to be memorable and admitted, right? And that's where we get these incredible results. So if you are buying into the impressiveness trap, it's a dangerous trap to fall into. I've spoken already before and even interviewed Iris before on this podcast, but Iris is a great example. She did the impressiveness trap her entire throughout high school. Took every AP that was offered in her school, got great grades in all of them, was the top performing student in her school, was in band and orchestra, was a varsity athlete, and was in student government. Literally the impressiveness trap, everything that you would hope to see. And because her friends were a year older than her, she wanted to graduate from high school a year early and go to college with those same friends. And so she applied to Stanford, her dream school, and several Ivy League schools during her junior year instead of her senior year because she was going to graduate a year early. And so fortunately, I mean, kind of in a weird way, it was fortunate for her, she applied early and was rejected from all those schools while she was still in high school. And she decided to go back to high school for her senior year and completely abandon the impressiveness trap, let go of varsity sports. She dropped music. All of these things, by the way, she loved music, but she didn't love the band and orchestra and the way that it was organized and how the students felt about music. So she continued doing music in her own way, in a way that was really exciting for her. She continued being active, but she dropped out of being on the varsity tennis team and all the hours that that required. She continued doing stuff that she loved and dropped out of all this other stuff that she didn't love, but that she thought was important in order to impress the admissions officers. And once she dropped out of all those things and had a summer ahead of her, she could spend weeks figuring out her core values and then figuring out how she would impact her community based on those core values. And I've told this story many times before, but of course she loved economics and gender equity rose to the surface as one of her core values. She decided that she's kind of the bridge person that helps people see past their differences and she can bridge different people together. That was kind of the theme of her application. And so she wrote together with a professor, she wrote a kind of a guide, an intro to economics that was gender neutral. And she called it an economics 101 textbook, a gender neutral economics textbook, right, for middle school students. And of course, it's a simple guide. It's not like a massive year-long IB, you know, economics course or an AP economics textbook that takes 3 years for a team of professors to write. She wrote a simple guide that was gender neutral, and she had a really compelling story to tell. Not exactly easy, but completely realistic within the time frame that she had. And so by the time she applied her senior year, she had already taken all the APs in her school, so she didn't have any AP classes her senior year. She didn't have any varsity sports or band or orchestra or any clubs or anything, student council, any of the things that you would think would make her more impressive. And instead, she simply had a clear story to tell about who she is, about her core values, and what she's curious about and what she loves and why that matters in her community. And the second time through, she was admitted to several Ivy League schools, the same ones that rejected her a year before, and she was admitted to Stanford, where she's currently studying economics. And so that story is a cautionary tale for those who feel like the impressiveness trap is the right way to go. But the impressiveness trap is not how you lead a successful life, and it's not how you get into a really competitive college. And that's why the Ivy League Challenge exists. We help your teen see past all of the smokescreen of the impressiveness trap so that they can begin to make the choices that actually help them get in. Take care of your body and your mental health, cultivate your curiosity, and seek to find ways to enhance your core values and to make an impact, a meaningful impact in your community. This entire process is healthy and wonderful. It brings teens to life if they really do it, and they get incredible results as well. And so really excited about this next cohort that's opening for the Ivy League Challenge. We will have one that opens that allows us to finish the course before summer so that students can use what they learn throughout the summer for their impact projects. To learn more, just go to www.theivyleaguechallenge.com, and you can even get access to a guide that I've spent the last 2 years writing and refining to help you get out of the impressiveness trap and into healthier college prep. That's at theivyleaguechallenge.com, and of course, you can reach out to me directly at theivyleaguechallenge@gmail.com. Don't get stuck in the impressiveness trap just because you don't know how to get out. Let me help your teen figure out their core values and figure out how they want to make an impact in their community in a way that helps them actually become memorable to an admissions officer, to be that breath of fresh air that we talked about. It is possible. We'll see you in the course. Music for this episode came from We Are Here by Declare P. I'm Steve Gardner. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thanks for listening.